You turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Like I said, we touched base on verse 13 just barely, but there's so much to it that I think we needed to take a morning on it and study verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's a lot of things out there that I believe, maybe people believe after they became a believer, that there's no temptation. There's no problem with sin. Life's easy. No issues whatsoever. But at least in my own life, I continue to struggle. Maybe some of you have it all figured out and don't have this challenge. But chapter 13 says that we all have temptations. We all have struggles. And many times with those struggles, we end in failures. So if we'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." I think this entire verse can change the way we look at struggles. One, we know we're going to go through them. Two, I think it builds character. It creates who you are. It makes you who God wants you to be. This verse can be a blessing. Yes, it's a challenge. Yes, it's life is going to throw a lot of things at you. But I believe this verse can be a blessing as well. And the one thing we need to remember is the context of what's happening. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians. And in the first part, one of the problems had been that the way some of the Christians were enjoying and using their freedoms and liberties in Christ to harm maybe other fellow Christians. They were partaking or participating in practices that maybe were wrong in and of themselves, but were harming the tender consciences of others, other believers, other brothers and sisters within that church family. And we learned one of those practices was that of eating meat that had been served to an idol. The meat itself was fine since it really hadn't been offered anything at all, but eating it carelessly and thoughtlessly was not only hurting the consciences of the other believers, but it was also leading some of the people closer to that edge of sin themselves. And this verse falls in the middle of that discussion. It's that context. Through verse 1 through 12, we talked about last week, Paul had warned his brothers and sisters of the dangers of using their liberties in Christ in such a way as to dabble too close to the edges of sin. He told them about the people of Israel. The people of Israel were God's chosen people. They had a spiritual advantage. But they nevertheless fell into sin and suffered great loss. That's what he kept going through. Chapter 10, verse 1 through 12, he was talking about the nation of Israel. And it ended, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And that's a warning for us that we all need to take heart. And he continues on, verse 14, to the end of the chapter. He takes a direct approach. He urges them to run away. He urges them to flee. They must flee from idolatry. But then he puts this in the middle of those two passages. In between those two sections. One that warns us that we who think we are strong in the faith must take heed lest we fall. And the other that urges us to flee from idolatry. And then verse 13 then gives us important information that we need to have in order to do as Paul tells us later on in this context. And I don't think verse 13 is a rebuke to us. I think it's more or less a comfort, maybe a consolation to us. It is meant to be an encouragement. Each and every one of us are going to go through struggles. We're going to go through life. We're going to go through temptations. There's many times in life that we win that temptation. There's many times we lose that temptation. But through chapter or verse 13, there's many principles that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. I'm going to read this verse in another passage, and you're going to hear me read it time and time again. But this other passage says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God, who is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." What a comfort those words are. What an encouragement they can give us. It's probably one of the passages through Scripture that we should memorize. If you're in the middle of a temptation, you can quote this passage. We can quote this passage time and time again. The one thing that this verse does is it affirms to us that whatever, whenever temptation comes our way, there is a way of escape. And before we go further, I want to look at that word, way of escape. People may change that, might confuse the sort of escape that the Apostle Paul is talking about here. And we may try to escape it through chemicals or alcohol or distracting ourselves with entertainment or not. That is not what he's talking about. We don't want to dull our senses. We don't want to dull ourselves to a trial or temptation or remove ourselves. It's also not a figurative kind of escape. You know, when you go on vacation, you can escape everything. It's not that type of escape. I think the kind of escape that Paul is talking about, rather than dulling ourselves or removing ourselves, it's to bear up or to endure in it, to get stronger, to build our character, to reach back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says at the end of verse 13, "But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it, to endure it, to get through it, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ." There's nothing we can do on our own. It's nothing we can do in and of ourselves. But we can have that escape. God provides that for us. The kind of exit from our trial or trouble or test. It's not an escape from something. It's an escape to someone. It's an escape to Jesus Christ. It's an escape back to the Word of God. It's an escape to Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And he says here, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." We can do nothing apart from Jesus Christ. We are nothing apart from Jesus Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. You can see in Matthew chapter 11, another great passage. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. "Come unto me, all ye that are..." "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The way of escape that Paul is talking about here is nothing less than running to Jesus Christ. We are going to go through trials. We're going through go through tests. We're going through go through troubles. And the question is, what do you do at that time? Do you turn and throw it all up and say, I don't need this? I didn't expect to go through this. This is not fair. This is not what I was called to do. This was not my plan for my life. Or do we run to Jesus Christ and say, I'm here. Show me what you want to learn. Show me what I can know. So we're going to look at 5 points here in verse 13. And the first point is, your temptation is not unusual. The Apostle Paul says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. You know, that word temptation can speak of temptation to sin, but it also can mean a trial or a test, or a putting of something to the proof. And God's providential care for us, that's what every temptation ultimately is. Nothing more than a matter of putting us to the test. And to me, the more time He pulls you through that fire, He loves you. There's no temptation we experience that are uncommon to man. You know, many times in life we think, this is only happening to me. This isn't fair. This is only happening to me. I don't understand why it's not fair. But everybody goes through temptation. And many times in life we might be a bit ashamed of some of the trials or the tests or the temptations we go through. But there's never been a temptation that Adam and Eve went through, that we go through, that Jesus Christ Himself went through. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ was tempted time and time and time again. He had the same exact feelings. He had the same exact emotions. He was 100% man. He was 100% God. But He knows what you're going through. And that should be a comfort for us. That should be a good feeling for us. But as Jesus Christ walked on this earth, He felt every kind of temptation that we could ever feel. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. Second point today is, God remains faithful. It says there, God is faithful. And if God is not faithful, we have no hope. It's not our faith that saves us. Yes, our measly faith of a mustard seed gets us there, and we believe in what Jesus Christ has said. We believe the Word of God. We believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's His faithfulness that saves us. God is faithful. Above all else, our God remains faithful and true to who He Himself is. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In James 1:17, it says, He is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In a time of temptation, troubles, testing, many times we're being tempted to change, or maybe violate God's standard in some way. Many times we're prone to wander, but our Heavenly Father never changes. You may have gone the wrong way, you may have chosen a different path, but the minute you turn around and say, "Lord, I'm here," He's been waiting. He never wanders. He never leaves us. God is faithful. He not only never changes from His own holy standards, but neither does He ever change from His sovereign purpose or calling for us. He has set aside for Himself forever in Christ, and all that He has destined for us in Christ will absolutely come to fulfillment. Look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. Three through five. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." If we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have salvation. What do we get for that? We get to an inheritance, verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God has a rich inheritance for us in Jesus Christ. It's already reserved for us in heaven. It's already there. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." I got a coworker at work that thinks she's going to get a big chunk of money from her inheritance. She's pretty excited about it, actually. But that's nothing to the inheritance that we receive from Jesus Christ. And we've done nothing for this. We don't deserve it. But because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, because He went and paid the price for you and I, that inheritance is yours if you are one of child of God. Third, God puts limitations on its power. Our trials or temptations are never outside of sovereign of God's control. I know sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we're put in spots that we shouldn't be in. But the power of God and His sovereign will for your life, you are there for a reason. God's in control. The Bible teaches us that He Himself never tempts anyone to sin, but He nevertheless exercised sovereign control over those temptations. The Apostle Paul said, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able." We need to understand this carefully. Paul does not mean for us to understand, as people sometimes say, that God will never give you anything greater than you can handle. After all, if you could handle it, then you'd never need to turn to Jesus. You can even see in 2 Corinthians 1:8, the Apostle Paul says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." The great Apostle Paul. We think he went through everything with flying colors. He was beaten. He was made fun of. He was spit on. Nothing bothered him. But even he experienced times of testing that were so great that he wanted to die. Clearly, God allowed him to experience that more than he could handle. He went on to say in verse 9 and 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us." Paul's promise that God will not allow you and I to be tempted to beyond what we are able, it means that God will never give us more than we can handle without him. If you turn back to him, if you come back to Jesus Christ, he will help you through that trial and temptation. It's not something you can do on your own. We are the dearest thing in the universe to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us his son to save us. He will never allow anything to come into our lives that would destroy us. But what he wants us to happen is to drive us back to him. He wants us to put us in spots that it will turn us back to him. So remember that in the future, if you're going through a trial or a temptation, you know what's happening. You know the reason for it. Point number 4, God always provides the way of escape. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." As long as we walk upon this earth, we will ever be able to escape from times of testing or temptation. God lets us know when it comes to any trial or temptation that he allows to come to us. He comes along with us. He carries us. He pushes us. He drags us. He may drag us kicking and screaming, but he drags us through that trial and temptation. But each trial comes with a way of escape. That way we are able to run to Jesus for our refuge. You know, here with the Corinthians, when it came to the temptation to idolatry that the Corinthians were suffering, God's instruction was to flee from it. Run from it. It may be that different types of trials and different circumstances of temptation involve different instruction from God's word. And we know what we do. We feel convicted. We know the answer. Many times we'll step a little closer or step a little closer. But many times he tells us to run. He tells us to flee. He tells us to go the other way. But our human nature, our flesh, says just one more time. Psalms 119:11 says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." We need to hide God's word in our heart. We need to memorize this verse. We need to memorize other scripture. Because when that temptation comes, we need to be prepared. We can take it with absolute confidence and trust in God's promise that with every temptation, every testing, by God's own hand, there's always a way of escape. And finally, last point, if we trust in Christ, if we run to him, you can endure it. You can bear it. You can get through it. Temptations will come. There will be times when we fail. And what Satan wants to do is keep kicking you while you're down. But the minute we come back and say, "Here I am, Lord," give him another chance. You can endure it. You can get through it. There will be times when we fail. Praise God, the promise of His Word is that if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. The most powerful thing here of reading this, we have the opportunity to choose not to sin. We always say, well, my human nature, my human flesh, I can't control it. Well, that means you're not in the Word enough. It's our choice. It's our desire. Do you feed your human side more, or do you feed your spiritual side more? We can gain victory over temptation and testing when we run to Jesus as our refuge. He will always be there. He will help us to endure it. So this morning I challenge everyone to memorize this scripture. That way when you know you're in a bad spot, you're in a bad predicament, I thought peer pressure went away when you got older, but I've learned peer pressure never stops. The world is out there still poking and prodding and saying, hey, come on, let's go. Memorize this verse. Pray about it. Read about it. Learn about it. Let it grow in your life. Affirm it to yourself in times of trial. It's an amazing verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. There's no unusual temptation. God has seen it. Your friends have seen it. Everybody has seen it. But God is faithful. How powerful. He is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. That doesn't mean on your own. We're going to go through things in our life that we say we cannot handle this. And our only option is to cry out to God. And at that time, allow the Holy Spirit to intercede for you and pray for you. Because you don't even know what to say in those times. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Whatever you're going through, there is a way to escape it. That you may be able to bear it. We can endure it through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Scripture. We just thank you for the Apostle Paul. Even with the life that he lived, there was times in his life he just said, I can't handle it anymore. But we know through the power, through the Word of God, through whatever you drag us through, whatever you bring us through, whatever you do for us, you're building character, you're building us stronger, you're bringing us closer to you. And I challenge each and every one of us to memorize this verse to where when we get ourselves in a bad predicament that we can quote it and we will know there's a way out, Lord. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.